We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
On October 22nd, WGXC aired a candidates forum from Cairo Durham High School with most of the candidates running for office in Cairo this fall. An audio recording of the forum is available in the audio archives at WGXC.org. Early voting starts October 26th. With four candidates on the ballot for town supervisor, including two former supervisors and the current supervisor, who is not running for re-election. Republican John Cohen, who is also on the Your Voice is Heard party line, was supervisor from 2008 to 2012. Democrat Ted Banta was supervisor from 2012 to 2015. Current supervisor Daniel Vannoy is still listed on the conservative line despite his announced intention not to run. Sherry B. True, who is Benoit's clerk, is on the True Choice party line. Two Democrats, Louis M. Connor and William F. Scherf, and two Republicans, Stephen L. Karlovich and Timothy M. Powers, are running for two seats on the town board. Scherf is also on the Working Families and Independence lines, and Connor is also on the Independence line. Republican Arthur J. Evans III vies against Democrat Michael C. Matarick to replace Robert Hempstead as highway supervisor. Tanja Sarago is unopposed for town justice, Kayla L. Warner is unopposed for town clerk, and Susan B. Hilgendorf is the only candidate on the ballot for tax collector. Diane Walden is reporting in the Columbia paper. The state of New York has agreed to take over the town of Copeg's efforts to have Salvatore Caccino's illegally constructed steel bridge demolished. The serial offender from Larchmont, Westchester County, was ordered by acting Supreme Court Judge Jonathan D. Nichols in 2006 to remove the 30-foot-wide span he built over the Nasher Kill, a protected trout stream, without permission. He was ordered to remove the structure for the second time in 2013. The removal of the bridge was just one item on a long list of tasks Caccino was ordered to do or stop doing after he was found guilty of illegal dumping, building, and excavating on his 30-acre property on the east side of Route 22. Copeg Town Board member Stanley Gansowski, Caccino's neighbor, has been working with state officials and the DEC to get the state to pursue the court-ordered bridge removal. On September 27th, the board approved a resolution requesting the DEC, and I quote, demand, direct, and oversee removal of the bridge. Gansowski announced October 10th, state and federal officials have agreed to, and I quote, take over the lawsuit, end quote, and see that Caccino complies. Supervisor Jeff Nayer said it was possible the town of Copeg could once again have sued to uphold the judge's order, but the town by itself is not in a position to enforce or monitor the removal of the bridge. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill October 22nd funding new library construction in the state. The bill was co-sponsored by Democrat D.D. Barrett, who represents the 106th Assembly District that includes parts of Dutchess and Columbia counties. Cuomo said in a statement, and I quote, libraries are the cornerstone of any community and great equalizers that provide resources and access to information to all New Yorkers, no matter who they are, where they come from, or how rich or poor they are, end quote. The bill funds up to 90% of construction costs. On October 26, the new Clabrick Library opens in the former A.B. Shaw Firehouse. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Vivian Wang is reporting for the New York Times that as local news is dying, the state of New York is trying to find ways to save it. Two state lawmakers next week will propose a requirement that any cable company operating statewide offer a local news channel with, and I quote, news, weather, and public affairs programming, end quote, according to the draft of the bill. The programming would have to be independently produced. The companies could not simply rebroadcast others' existing news shows. If approved, the bill would be the first of its kind in the country. Although other forms of intervention to save local news have been tried elsewhere, the New York proposal would be the most aggressive attempt by government officials to sustain local news in the long term. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo and the Democrat-led state Senate have already indicated support of the idea. Under the proposal, the Public Service Commission, New York's utilities regulator, would decide what qualified as local news. It would also determine how long and how often each channel was required to show it. There is some thought to including online-only content providers, such as Hulu or Amazon Prime, as well in the rule. Media experts warn that such a law could effectively make the government an arbiter of news. One of the bill's co-sponsors emphasized that while the Public Service Commission would ensure a company's compliance with the local news requirement, it would not control the content of that news. Read the full story in the New York Times. While everything coming out of Washington, D.C. might seem only to be impeachment talk, the government is continuing to work. On October 22nd, Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck representing the 19th Congressional District, testified before the House Veterans Subcommittee on Disability Assistance and Memorial Affairs about his bill, the Improving Benefits for Underserved Veterans Act.
Thank you, Chairwoman Loria and Ranking Member Bass, for the opportunity to testify today about my bill, the Improving Benefits for Underserved Veterans Act, legislation to better understand the needs of our nation's veterans. Throughout the years, our armed forces have become increasingly diverse, with more women and minority groups serving our country. In fact, in my district alone, there are more than 40,000 veterans, nearly 10% of which are women, a trend that will only increase in the coming years. Female veterans are also the fastest growing segment of the homeless veteran population. And in 2016, the suicide rate of women veterans was nearly twice the suicide rate of non-veteran women. This summer, I visited a number of veterans organizations and facilities in upstate New York, including the Samaritan Daytop Village in Ellenville, the Catskill VA Clinic, and the Albany Stratton VA to better understand the health care needs of women veterans and learned that many female and minority group veterans are unaware of their entitled benefits, leaving critical benefits unused. My legislation, the Improving Benefits for Underserved Veterans Act, would direct the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to publish a report on veterans' benefits disaggregating by sex and minority group status. This would help Congress and the VA better understand which benefits these groups are utilizing and, importantly, which benefits they are not utilizing. This forward-looking report will also allow Congress and the VA to foresee trends and needs in veterans' benefits and better understand how to serve them in the future. I am grateful to the House Affairs Committee for all of its hard work on what will become the Deborah Sampson Act, which, if enacted, would be the most comprehensive legislation helping to serve women service members, and I am so happy it includes the Improving Benefits for Underserved Veterans Act. I thank the committee for the opportunity to speak on this important issue. I yield back my time.
Bethany Bumpus reporting in the Times Union, the State Department of Health announced October 21st it has expanded the services available through the New York State Smokers Quit Line to offer free coaching and nicotine replacement therapy to e-cigarette users who want to stop vaping. The decision was made in response to the nationwide outbreak of vaping-related illnesses that have killed 33 people and hospitalized almost 1,500 more. The department worked with the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center in Buffalo to develop eligibility criteria and practices that help e-cigarette users stop vaping. The department said nicotine replacement therapy, especially a regimen that combines use of a patch with gum or lozenge, usually doubles the odds that a user will quit. Anyone interested can contact the Quit Line at 1-866-NY-QUITS. That's 1-866-967-8487 any day of the week beginning at 9 a.m. and speak with a specially trained coach who will provide an assessment. Based on that evaluation, a user may be eligible to receive free nicotine replacement therapy. Read the full story in the Times Union. City and state round up which New York politicians have endorsed which presidential candidates, and Elizabeth Warren is leading. From next door in Massachusetts, the senator has been endorsed by New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer, state senators Alessandra Biaggi, Liz Krueger, and Gustavo Rivera, assembly members Hugh Line-New, Linda Rosenthal, Harvey Epstein, Joanne Simo, and Catalina Cruz, and a number of New York City Council members. From next door, Vermont, Bernie Sanders has almost as many endorsements as Warren, most from New York City. Joe Biden has only two endorsements, but one is Governor Andrew Cuomo. New Rochelle Mayor Noam Bramson is backing Pete Buttigieg. Kamala Harris has endorsement from two state senators, Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who represents the 18th Congressional District in the Southern Hudson Valley, is behind Beto O'Rourke. So far, none of the four Republican presidential candidates have received an official endorsement from a prominent New York politician. Read more about this story at City and State. New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos announced the department's 17th annual Day in the Life of Hudson and Harbor will take place Tuesday, October 22nd. The DEC estimates 5,000 local students will take over the shorefronts of the Hudson River and the piers of New York Harbor to collect data and study the river's fish, invertebrates, and more. Local schools participating in the annual event include Coxsackie Elementary School, Chatham High School, Hudson High School, Montgomery C. Smith Elementary School, and Taconic Hills High School. During the Day in the Life event, students collect scientific data using hands-on field techniques in an effort to capture a snapshot of the river's ecology at more than 100 sites along the Hudson. The data collected by students will give the DEC a window into the ecosystem that spans 160 miles. The data will be posted online after the event. Read the full press release at dec.org.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly before 7 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a temperature high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low of around 37. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 63 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 41. And that's your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Wednesday, October 23rd, from 8 to 11 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performing will be Sky Furrows, based in Albany, and Bark, out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Tune in to 90.7 FM to hear it on the air, or go to WGXC.org, click on Listen at the top of the page, and scroll down to find the live web stream. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Friday, October 25th, from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the Mostly Girls DJ Collective will play songs for Halloween. This show will be broadcast on 90.7 FM from 9 to 10 p.m. and again after midnight, and available at wgxc.org/listen between 10 p.m. and midnight. See facebook.com/mostlygirls for event details. On Saturday, October 26th, from 8 p.m. to midnight, WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performing will be Christopher Tignor, Julia Kent, Benoit Piolard, and DJ Ephraim Asili. Tignor is a composer, violinist, lecturer, and software engineer. Kent is a cellist and composer using looped cello, found sounds, and electronics. Benoit Poulard is Thomas Mellick and relies on guitar and voice as the basis for his work. And DJ Ephraim Asili plays vinyl at the end of the night. Tune in to 90.7 FM to hear it on the air, or go to WGXC.org, click on Listen at the top of the page, and scroll down to find the live web stream. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Sunday, October 27th, from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where Reckless Eric will perform songs from his new album, Construction Time and Demolition. There will be a live web stream of this show at wgxc.org/listen, and at 10 p.m. the show will also be broadcast on 90.7 FM. WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive continues through October 31st. Our goal is to secure 50 new sustaining supporters who invest in community radio every month. You can help to keep WGXC on the air by becoming a sustaining supporter at wgxc.org/donate. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Waveform app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a community collaborator with WGXC.